Welcome to the Black Sheep Believers podcast. Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Alicia.
Have you ever felt like you didn't belong?
A misfit, outcast?
Too loud, or even like a black sheep?
Us too.
Yep. Black Sheep Believers is a podcast of honest conversations for those seeking, questioning, and deepening their relationship with Jesus.
So let's have the hard but real conversations around feeling misunderstood and misplaced, but feeling fully accepted by the God that created us. Welcome home, Black Sheep.
Welcome back to another episode of Black Sheep Believers podcast. Hi, everyone. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Jess.
And we are... I'm happy today. And I think it's just the subject too, that I just feel like I'm just excited to dive in today. But how are you feeling, Jess?
I'm feeling good. We are filming towards the end of our day. And so, to like transition to this chair to have this conversation takes me just a quick second, but I'm excited too. I feel like the funnest thing to talk about is like, there's so many things fun that are fun to talk about. But I like talking about stuff that inspires people to like pull the best out of them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the hope that we hope that when by the end of this conversation, you will feel inspired to do what we did. Yeah.
And I think it's cool. Today what we're talking about is spiritual gifts from God. And what's also really cool about that is I think as you progress in your relationship with him, you get a really deep understanding of what he has for you. And that's exciting and that's motivating. Mm-hmm. And it's also really great if you're kind of going through a rough time too. Like you can remember, like, I am highly favored. I am the child of God. Wow. And I do have things that, I mean, we'll dive into this, but for me, I mean, the Lord really just took what I considered all my flaws and I think made them his gifts. And that's what's cool and redeeming and awesome. So let's start off today with what are spiritual gifts?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, like, ain't that like a total truth from everybody that like what we consider our weaknesses, he ends up using for his strengths. I've got a really crazy example of that, but I'll answer your question directly first before we get into that part. Okay, so you asked what spiritual gifts were. Spiritual gifts are essentially the skill sets needed from God's people to serve God's people.
Love how simple yet perfect that is.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're just the skill set that God uses within God's people to serve God's people.
Should we share? We took a test.
Yeah.
We took a spiritual gift test.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say, like, we should probably just, like, overview some of the examples of spiritual gifts. There are a bunch. Mm-hmm. Can you remember some of the ones that were in our assessments? We just went online, found a spiritual gifts test. For those of you that are in ministry, which means that you work in a church, you might have facilitated this, you know, a test to somebody. You might have had to take one to be in ministry, you know, your ministry role. Some of you might have never taken it. And there are so many spiritual gift tests out there. Yeah. But they're all tied back to, like, decisive characteristics and gifts that are listed within the Bible. To name a few, there's mercy, giving, or like generosity, pastoring or shepherding would be one, teaching, exhortation is like encouraging others, acts of service or, acts of service, serving.
Evangelism,
sharing your faith, like telling people about Jesus and, telling people that you might not know about Jesus. What else? Can you think of any?
Giving.
Of giving, yeah. I said that.
I'm like, is it?
Administration. We're going to talk about administration for a little bit today because
I didn't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. Administration was on mine and I was like, I feel like, kind of like we had talked about this before, if you're a mom, you probably, whether it's natural or not, you got some gifts of administration.
You actually have to administer like the needs of your family. So like, I feel like women get the default administration yeah. gift if, because some of the questions in the spiritual gift test, not how the Bible describes them, because they're not as intricate as like the assessments are in defining them, but like some of the questions that were like a dead ringer for administration were like, can you make decisions quickly? Well, if you're a mom or you work with children in any capacity, you got to be able to make decisions yeah. quickly. So
yeah, I got yeah, a full diaper blowout. The pizza's ready. There's the mail, man. The dogs ran off. Like, what am I going to do? Like,
right.
Wait.
Right.
Wait to make a decision. Hold on. Let me, well, that's what I would be really curious to see like men, like the difference of where their like spiritual gifts fall from like women. Yep. That's really interesting. Yeah. But anyways, I took the test for the first time, which since I came to the Lord, I've had people ask me multiple times if I've taken the test and they're like, I think your gift is exhortation. And I was like, I don't really know what that means. So this week was good too, because I got to kind of like dive in a little bit more and kind of understand that. And my top ones were administration, exhortation. Did I just say that wrong? Exhortation. Sorry. Shepherding. And I took another test and they had faith as one of the ones, which I think it kind of falls into evangelism yeah. and all that other.
I've seen other tests with leadership too, which mm-hmm. I haven't listed, but leadership was on another spiritual test that I've taken. So this is like my 18th billionth time. I don't know how many times, I'm obviously exaggerating, but because it's funny
yeah.
when you exaggerate, you know?
Yeah. I like it.
Thank you. I think I took it like twice in high school, three times in college, a bunch in at work, you know, because I worked at a church. And this hasn't always been. In the past, I had worship on there because worship was a spiritual gift on one of the tests. At the time, I was helping lead worship, so it only made sense that like when they talked about music, I'd be like, yep, that's me. And then I've also had leadership in the past, but that wasn't even like one of the items in the spiritual gift test that we took. Right now, ours are almost identical. Mm-hmm. It was my first one is teaching. And that's different than exhortation in that exhortation is like, I'm going to encourage you peer to peer, one on one, and teaching is like, I'm going to facilitate Bible discussion. Mm-hmm. I think teaching will be in your spiritual gifts as you develop
maybe.
And strengthen
that
them.
That would be cool.
There's some people that might be listening to this and they might be thinking like, you never change your spiritual gift. It's a calling, you know? And I just don't believe that. I believe that the Lord like ebbs and flows based on what his needs and calling are for our life.
For
so
sure.
I'm very sorry to all of you that are really irritated with us and our discussion so far. But you don't have to listen to us, so you could stop. You could just...
Maybe your incoming gift would be mercy. I don't know.
Develop that, please.
I don't know.
So mine were teaching, administration, and shepherding.
That tracks.
Those feel right.
That tracks.
Those feel right. If I were to take another one, I would say that there are probably some other ones, depending on the questions. Because that's another thing, is like, you get to decide what the questions are. It's not like, you know, you put something underneath your pillow and the spiritual gift fairy comes and tells you exactly what the insights of you say.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. And I think also too, I mean, just like the Holy Spirit does everything. Like,
right.
I'm sure the Holy Spirit is revealing within any type of seeking that you're doing to kind of set you on the path that God's will has for you.
That's right.
But it was cool to, as humans, I think we like to outline things like that. Because we like to know, but what was really interesting is it's so like me. I was like, I'm going to take these tests and it's going to be exhortation. Like, I already know, Lord. I already know. Like, that's exactly how I showed up to the Lord. And it's so silly. I was like, Lord, I'm so strong. Super strong, Lord. I'm really good with people, Lord. Like, I remember once I was like saying my nighttime prayers. And I like was giving him a job interview. I was like, this is all the really great things about me. How are you going to use that? And he gives me so much mercy and so much grace.
I know, me too. He does that to me.
Because
too.
What the Lord has actually done is he's been like, actually, most of those things that you consider gifts for yourself, when you're driving, they're a hot mess. When you let me drive, I will take those gifts that you think are good and I will make them great. I will make them something that you could never do on your own.
100%.
And just in a short 2 years, I have really been able to kind of see that play out, that the more I kind of surrender what I think makes me great and allow God to come in and be like, I'll through you, like, that'll be great. I've really been able to see that change. So it was cool to outline it. I think we like to do that. And I think we also like to sometimes tell the Lord what we're really good at. And it's a good humbling experience to, I don't know. I would encourage anyone to take this test and then just kind of sit down and be like, okay, Lord, really, what do you want to show me with this? What do you want to reveal to me with this?
Totally. What was it like going from, I am in charge of my own strengths and weaknesses prior to meeting Jesus? What was it like realizing that the good that you were experiencing was coming from him and not self-generated?
Yeah. Great question. First experience was I was highly offended. I was highly offended that, what do you mean? Like, I'm not just great. I'm not just great all on my own. And there was a little bit of deconstruction, if you will, because I was coming from a religious system, if you will, that is totally surrounding self and placing self as its highest power. Because if not, I mean, the whole thing crumbles. And so coming to the Lord, and, you know, everyone says dying to myself. I heard that for so long before I really started experience, like, actually dying to myself, which was just dying to the idea that I'm great. I'm great. The funny part is that even when I was practicing that and I was like, I am powerful. I can manifest what I want. I, there was still that little part of me that, I mean, if I'm being completely honest, like, I was still searching for so many things and so many voids weren't being filled. There was a small part of me that was like, I don't know if I am all those things, but I have to commit to it because I don't have anything else. I have to commit to myself because I don't have anything else. So really understanding that, you know, what he created was good.
Yes.
And you are good, but what you are through him is great. That was really offensive to me because I was not used to assuming anything other than every single thing I did was amazing. And I was the most powerful. So that was my first experience with it. And that was something that I kind of didn't really understand before I was a Christian. I didn't understand why people were just constantly giving credit to God. Because I was like, well, you did that. Like, you ran that race. You built that company,
right?
Like you did that. Like, I'm sure your God guided you, but like you did that.
Yeah.
I really didn't understand that these people were in relationship with Jesus and that because of their relationship, they were so humble in their heart that they had an understanding that it was not I, it was him. Yeah. But it is kind of confusing if you're not used to that. And now, even as a Christian, I struggle with it all the time because, I mean, I spent a long time praising myself. So now fully understanding that, like, who I am without Jesus, she struggled.
Yeah.
She wouldn't tell you that she
wasn't
did.
A good God.
She wasn't. Oh, no. Woo. But yeah, it was offensive. It was offensive because the questioning of self is offensive for all of us.
It is true for all of us. Yeah.
What about you?
So the my ego is constantly wanting to sit in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. Constant. And you know, I've known Jesus, like, really known him for almost 25 years probably, you know, if I count like making big decisions in like late middle school to now. And though those seasons for me throughout, there were different variations of me being like, I'm pretty good. I got a good thing going right here, you know, and not orienting my posture to have him in the driver's seat, you know, mm-hmm. you know, giving Jesus that wheel, you know, mm-hmm. Gary, if we were following Gary's rules, Jesus, take that wheel. So for me, like over a few decades and a half, I waver in remembering it. I don't think it comes naturally for anybody mm-hmm. to say the good that I give, that I put out there, is actually because Christ's love is dwelling inside of me and I can put it out into the world.
Yes. Yes.
And his mercy over my life allows for me to have a completely different perspective on what it looks like to show up in front of other people and what strengths I have and weaknesses I have. I orient them to him. I think it depends on the day, mm-hmm. even today. Mm-hmm. It depends on the day. How many times I think if something good happens, or even if I mess up, I would say like that's something that I want to be quicker when I don't operate in my gifts because I'm trying to control something, mm-hmm. for me to thank the Lord for revealing to me those times where I get it out of line, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Totally. I mean, I think when I first started reading scripture and I was reading Peter, I really gravitated towards Peter because mm-hmm. here is Peter, who's a person who's kind of, he questions everything. He requires a lot of proof. And even when he like had proof, he still was like, "Wah!" I can like resonate with that. Yeah. I also think that like Peter was always saying like, he was always saying the thing when people were like, "Don't say the thing." He was like always saying the thing. And then as he, you know, grew in his discipleship, I think Jesus took that part of him yeah. that was when he was doing it, and when he would say the thing, it was kind of a mess. But when he started, you know, allowing Jesus to work through him, like Jesus loved that he said the thing.
Yeah.
And in one of the most important times,
right,
Peter said the thing. And so I think it's a great just illustration
yeah.
of when you're allowing yourself to work through the gifts that God gives you,
yeah.
That flaw that you have
yeah.
can be a gift. But yeah, it makes total sense. Okay, so I have a question, and I don't even think if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to, because okay. I don't even know how you answer this.
Okay.
And this is something that I'm still kind of trying to figure out what the question is even. So sometimes I have a hard time because I get this feeling of like, okay, you can't really like, it's not that you can't be confident, but I'm like, how do you be like confident in yourself? Obviously, like your identity in Christ is what makes you confident. Mm-hmm. But, and you give everything to Jesus.
Yeah.
But like a person like me, who's used to just like being totally self-confident and yeah. totally like self-motivate, like, What's the blend? What's the mixture? Like, how do you have, like, still have confidence within yourself, but make sure that you're still being, like, led in your gifts by him?
Great question.
I don't know if that was clear, but it's just like,
I hear that's
always floating around in my mind. I'm 100%. Like, what's too much confidence? What's, like, not, like,
you I think the cultural message has been so clear that you need to have confidence, right?
Okay.
And so, like, we're being told, like, you need to have confidence. And so I can see there being, for a lot of people, that tension where, and to be honest, I know a lot of friends who have never felt confident because of the message
yeah.
that you need yeah. to die to yourself all the time and you need to suppress any good that you might generate on your own. You need to suppress any of the negative feelings that you have or any communication, you know, internal narrative that says that you're good. You need to suppress that and deny that, and then they can't trust themselves, and it gets really tricky. So there's like a whole false theology on mm-hmm. people like thinking that they're dust.
Yeah,
I used to truly be like, we are dust. And to be fair, we're gonna return to dust. I mean, like, we're like kind of
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, like how do you navigate walking in what feels like wholeness,
mm-hmm.
which in like more common terms, like walking in a confidence that like this frame has a place in this world,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think what we have to do is actually accept God's unrelenting, steadfast love for us.
That's really good.
We got a dad up there.
Yeah.
And he is so committed to loving us in our faithlessness, in our questions, in our doubt, in our frustration, in our blemishes. I mean, like, he's willing to go all in. Chips are all in on us. And we have nothing to give him. Now, I like to say we have nothing to give him other than our sin, because that's the only thing we give him. He doesn't participate in our sin. That's the only part in this whole thing. But the moment that we, like, walk in this fully loved, fully accepted, revelation, I think we also truly believe that his love for us makes us worth doing what he's asked us to do.
Yes. Yes.
So I have confidence in his love for me. So I don't need it from others. I don't need to look a certain way for the approval of others. I can do what he's asked me to do and trust that if he's asked me to do it, I can do it. So I have learned that my confidence in building myself up, keeping the main character in my story to be about me, when I keep doing that, it gets kind of faulty.
Yeah.
Because then you're really operating out of your ego. But when my confidence is in his love for me, that frees everyone around me up.
Yeah.
For them to meet some sort of, like, confidence in me. And it also frees me up to still be human.
Yes. Well, and there's so much freedom in not caring about yourself. And let's not take that out of context. I've spent most of my life, like, worshiping myself.
That's right. Obsessed.
Now, it's really nice to not have that burden, because it is a burden.
It's a burden.
It is a burden. And knowing that I serve a God that knows me so intimately, he knows every hair on my head, he knows every thought, he knows everything, like, putting that trust in him. I love how you answered that. Thank you for answering that.
Yeah,
that was so good. Because sometimes I do get caught up, because I'm like, okay, can I, because I'm still, girl, I'm still a confident person.
Right.
And there's a lot of times too where I'm like, Lord, why did you give me this mouth if I'm not supposed to use it?
Yeah.
And then as I come back to him, he's like, because you are not using it. I'll let you know when
to use it.
Yes, but it's not you. So that's so good. And, you know, maybe we can segue a little bit in that of stepping into spiritual gifts and what that looks like in your daily life and in your community. What has it been like for you stepping into your gifts?
Yes. So stepping into my gifts has evolved over time because of the gifts that God's given me for the seasons that I'm in. Right. So I've said, like, here's one gift and another gift. And then I took this test and it says this. What I have learned is when I am checking in with the Lord, he will prompt me in a moment to step into it. I'm going to call it a gear. I guess that would be, like, the best way to, there's like a gear that I feel like I can mentally turn on when the Holy Spirit nudges me. And I feel like I'm doing exactly what he's asked me to do.
I've seen you do it.
I've seen you do it.
Jess actually has, I call it the Holy Spirit stance.
Yeah.
And she'll close her eyes.
Right.
And her arms go here. And I'm like, she is, like, she's fully in the spirit.
She's walking it.
Yeah. It's cool to see.
Thank you. I see it in you as well. When there are opportunities for us to be used by God in a very specific moment, I think we trust that this inner, by the way, when we're listening to the Spirit, it's always going to bring good to someone else. Right? There's an external benefit to us operating out of our gifts. Our gifts don't serve us. Our gifts always serve. Our gifts always serve someone else. So oftentimes when you're stepping into your gift based on what the Spirit is asking you to do, it's going to bless another person. Okay? So that's a really important
factor.
I'm
really glad you said that.
Okay? Yeah. I'm going to go back actually to something that you said about Peter. You said there was times where Peter did the thing. You know, you gave, like, a great, he's the perfect person to talk about spiritual gifts to. because he had the gift of zeal. And I'm not saying like the spiritual gift of zeal. He was a very passionate person. God used that passion at Pentecost, mm-hmm. which was 50 days after the resurrection. The Holy Spirit came on a group of people. It said it came on the group of people like a fire, and they all started talking in languages that they didn't know to communicate what Jesus did, and a lot of people came to meet Jesus that day. Rad, right?
I try to actually picture that.
Me too.
That's so gotta be so wild.
It's wild to me. And I have friends who have spoken languages they did not know to people. I mean, like, that's real stuff, guys. Okay. But if you rewind about 55 days mm-hmm. before the day of Pentecost, he cut guy's ear off. Okay? So that passion hasn't always been used for good. He is our... Honestly, like, he is like everybody else in that we can operate out of our gifts all the time. And it really depends on how much we're listening to the voice of God and doing what he says, and how often we're thinking, oh, well, I have this gift. I'm going to go ahead and use it.
I can take it from here, Lord. I understand what you gave me.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Okay, so for example, I'll be very honest. I spoke out of turn to a friend in the last week. Okay, like in the last week, I was giving her a word that I thought she needed to hear, and it was through the scriptures. Like, I sent her a scripture that I thought could be really useful to her, and I thought, oh, this is for sure what the Lord's asking me to do. She had no idea what I was talking about. By the time we got to like really unpack that conversation, she was like, why did you send that to me? Like, that didn't edify her. It was what I thought was me teaching her in a moment that I stepped into. Not that the Lord told me, this is the word that I want you to say. It was me using that gift of teaching inappropriately. So what I'm saying is, like, for maybe not, but I mean, like, for me, that's how I perceived my actions. And why I share it is that you may have a gift that you are overusing.
Oh, that's interesting.
You may have a gift that you are completely overusing. There are teachers out there. There are people who serve out there. There are people who give out there. Mm-hmm. And you are causing more problem than you're blessing because you're just using it. You're just using the gift because God gave it to you. Instead of pausing and letting the Spirit tell us, this is when. So when we give mercy, because one of the gifts is mercy, you give mercy out of turn with the Lord, you might cause codependency. Mm-hmm. You might enable. Mm-hmm. If you give outside of God's mercy, you might be generous to people who, you know, the Lord isn't asking you to be generous with. Mm-hmm. If we feel like that we're supposed to teach, I'm telling you the biggest problem that people with the teaching gift has, and I'm in the front of this row, in front of this line, is we feel like we have every opportunity to teach. Mm. We'll teach anytime, and it will go completely over everybody's head or in one ear and out the other because we are teaching at a completely inappropriate and unnecessary time because that's not when the gift God wants us to use.
Jess, that's good.
So we just have to remember these are God's gifts in us, through us, for his purpose. Okay, so can I tell you, these are the meanings around spiritual gifts, and then we'll go into some of them.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the first one is that there's obviously purpose in these spiritual gifts, and I have some notes, so I'm going to read them. Okay, so spiritual gifts are always for the common good, the good of the church, and they're designed to serve the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about people that are part of the church, mm-hmm. okay, the family of God. And to edify and to build up other people that are a part of God's family, and obviously to glorify God. It's also really important that we recognize that our gifts are going to be different. So it's really sweet and kind of fun that she and I have similar gifts, mm-hmm. but like some of my, like our closest friends, their top three are radically different, and there's mm-hmm. there's a good thing. In fact, there are people in your life that are total sandpaper. You got a gal in your Bible study, and she just rubs you all kinds of wrong. Right? I bet she's got some gifts that are going to add some real compliments to what you bring to the world.
Well, yeah, and it makes me think about, are you allowing yourself to also receive God's gifts from others?
Mm.
Or are you only just...
You're just giving them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should obviously be on the receiving end of gifts.
Because yeah. I think with women, especially from our generation, we, and I would say probably even the generation before, we don't receive things well. Mm. And it's almost like asking for help or asking for mercy, or, you know, there's just been a bunch of times in my life where I'm like, have I even allowed that person to share their gift with me? Mm. Or did I just assume in my own selfness that I'm good? Like, so yeah, I think there can be like, you can block receiving God's gifts through others when you're just so overtly confident in what you have in yourself. So sorry, I didn't mean to segue that, but I was just like,
that's good.
There's a lot of blocking when it comes to receiving, I think sometimes.
Totally. And I mean, it's different sides of the same coin. It's either because of insecurity, I don't deserve it, mm-hmm. or it's because of pride, mm-hmm. where like, I don't need it. Mm-hmm. I either don't deserve it, don't need it, both are wrong. Yeah. Because you're still a part of the family of God.
Yeah.
The Lord is going to need to encourage you through other people. We're a very communal species.
Created that way.
We're created by God for that, and we need each other to have the humility to accept God's gift from others to ourselves is a gift. Mm. It's such a gift. Mm-hmm. When I get to see someone else operate out of their strengths, out of the strengths that God's given them, out of their spiritual gifts, my goodness gracious, I'm like so inspired. But when they give it to, when their spiritual gifts are meant to serve me, I get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I deserve it. Or I feel like I'm inconveniencing you. Wait a minute, baby girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm operating out of my gifts, do you know what's happening? I'm filling and I'm giving.
Mm-hmm.
Like when
mm-hmm.
we're doing that with each other, like we are both like giving each other like real, my tank is filling up as I'm operating out of these spiritual gifts. Let me love you in the way that God's asked me to.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Probably so, how happy is he?
Right.
When he sees that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's precious. Yeah, he delights in that. You're right. Despite the diversity of gifts, we all contribute towards the unity and growth of the church. So if somebody says that they're operating out of their spiritual gifts, but in some way it causes division,
mm-hmm.
that's not aligned with what the scriptures tell us about spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to work in harmony with one another, not dissonance. One of the spiritual gifts that people have talked about in the past and within the scriptures talks about the spiritual gift of tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this?
I have. I went to a church that was very charismatic and spoke in tongues a lot. I'm still... to be honest, that's one of those topics that I'm like, Lord, if you need to reveal that to me right now, like obviously go. But for right now, it's one of those things that, I know some people say it's biblical. Some people say it's unbiblical. There's a lot around that. And yeah. I have not landed anywhere because okay. I'm too busy learning the basics.
Right. That's way too far down the line,
but I have had experience with it. And okay. I have also, had experience with watching a person very close to me who I would probably not consider being in relationship with God speak in tongues.
Ooh, that's naughty.
So that influenced me a lot on just, I have a lot of reverence for that with God.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Totally it does.
Because I have seen it be a performance piece, but mm-hmm. I've also talked to so many people. We have friends too that, I mean, really incredible testimonies include that. So. Yeah.
Okay. So one of the spiritual gifts, in fact, for a lot of people, when she says charismatic, like it's a denomination of the church. I mean, we could go down that path. We're not going to because it's not tied to what we're talking about. And there's so many other things that we could, but, there is a whole audience of people in the church that believe that everybody should have it. Mm. there's a whole group of people that think that it's an archaic gift that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Because of how poorly people have used it. It's the perfect example, actually, of how people can abuse a spiritual gift.
Yeah.
Is that it's become a polarizing issue because people have used this spiritual gift so abhorrently, mm-hmm. so self-servingly, that there's tons of people that don't believe that it even exists anymore. Yeah. That's how serious it is. And then there are some that have a more moderate view where it's only intended to be a personal prayer experience unless you have an interpreter. So what do we mean by tongues? We don't mean you stick out your tongue. Mm-hmm. We mean that you're speaking in a language that isn't common to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'll tell you my own experience with it just very briefly. So I talked to a friend. He grew up in a charismatic church, but he uses it in the way that I felt like aligned with the scriptures, which was that it was a prayer language between you and God as a form of intercession, which means that you're using this spiritual gift to pray on behalf of other people in a language that you don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so I had this really great conversation with somebody who that's how they used it. And I asked them a few questions, and a few within that conversation, as we were talking about it, I asked God to give me this gift. I asked specifically for it. About a week later, we were anointing a friend's house with oil, which is another biblical thing that kind of helps us kind of dedicate situations, people, you know, circumstances, we dedicate it to God by mm-hmm. using what's called anointing oil. It's very lovely smelling. And so we were anointing a home with oil because of some really deep, heavy things that were happening in this house. And I felt my body get real warm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was not making any sounds. My mouth was moving, but I was not making any sounds. And I felt like I was being, I guess the word would be channeled, but I was feeling compelled by what I believe was the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. that was using my body to intercede for somebody else. The scripture does talk about the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit. The Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us constantly. It talks about there are times where the Lord will hear the groanings of our heart. The Bible talks mm-hmm. about, so there are expressions of praying where we don't have language for it,
mm-hmm.
but our groans or our moans, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. will do for us in the spirit realm what we can't do for ourselves.
Okay.
So I found myself praying what I believe was like a prayer language. It's what I call it instead of tongues. Because it does make me feel kind of icky saying tongues, honestly. So I just say, like, I pray in my prayer language.
Mm-hmm.
What I have learned about this prayer language that I have accessed now, thanks to the power of the Holy Spirit, is that I don't get to use my own ambition and agenda to pray for someone else. So what I was doing before I prayed for people in this way is the Lord would give me a word to say in my language, and I would not have the self-control to keep that by myself. I would go and tell them, I prayed for you and the Lord told me this.
Mm.
And sometimes I was dead wrong.
Mm.
And I just messed up. Whatever the Lord was
that
trying to do.
That happens a lot.
That you people do it all the time.
Yeah.
What I have found in my prayer language is that I am removed from abusing it. Okay. Like I can't manipulate whatever word the Lord has for that person because I don't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have done, especially when I don't have words to pray, when now I feel like I can access it fairly quickly, but I do have to get permission from the Lord every time.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself praying in this prayer language, using this spiritual gift to intercede for other people. That's the only way that I do it. It's the only time that I feel like I can access it is if I'm doing it for somebody else. And then the other piece is that it frees me up to not intervene.
Mm-hmm.
And that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
For a meddler like me, mm-hmm. like a nosy Nelly like me, it's better that when I pray for you, I have no clue what the Lord is telling you.
Mm.
It's like better.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's been my experience with it.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
That's really cool. 'Cause very, very few people have ever really broken that down for me before. Yeah. So thank you for that. I think a lot of people will find that interesting to be broken down in that way.
Yeah.
Because they just hear people speaking in tongues and they
have
no idea really what's going on there.
Yeah. So. I will say I am extremely concerned when people decide to use an incoherent language without an interpreter. There's nothing in the Bible that permits that. Mm-hmm. So if you hear anybody making all kinds of sounds loud and in public without having someone else there to tell you what they're saying, nothing in the Bible confirms that that's something that's from the Lord. Just so you know, there's no scripture that confirms that you can do that. Just have a heightened perspective that some people might be doing it for a show.
That's really funny you said that. I actually got into this really random conversation with someone the other day, and they were telling me that, you know, they place hands and they heal people and they cast out demons. And they were telling me all about casting out demons. And we have, as someone who I didn't cast out a demon, Jesus did. We had a wildly different experience.
Yes, girl.
And I didn't feel the need to share my experience or anything else. And I remember I actually checked into the Holy Spirit, like, in that conversation. I was like, Holy Spirit, you want to drive now? But it's interesting because, I think that gifts are such an opportunity for human flaw to enter.
Yeah.
And so having that check-in is so, so vital, not just for yourself, but also for your discernment of what spiritual gifts are being presented to you from other people, right. Having that discernment, because they are very influential in a lot of ways.
Yep. Okay.
What else you got?
So just a couple more things. So it always should, God will use his spirit to work through people, and it will look different for each person because of the different facets. You know, I think one of the, one of Paul's letters talks about, I'm pretty sure, the different, like, body parts of the church. And he's talking about, like, different strengths that people have that serve, you know, the family of God. And it's really important that we each use the spiritual gifts that God's given us in the way that he's asked us to, so that we can complement one another, bring unity, and also serve mm-hmm. the church. Not everybody is going to need to do the same thing, because there are so many needs that the church is called to meet. So it's important for us to recognize that there are different ways that God uses us. And then it's always, despite how diverse our gifts are, they're all supposed to contribute to a unity within the church. And that's something I think we could use a little bit more of these days.
For sure.
Unity, y'all. And then the goal is always to be super responsible for these gifts. Mm-hmm. When we are responsible for the gifts, we are able to know when not to use them. Because mm-hmm. that's what glorifying God looks like.
Yeah.
And when to use them.
Yeah.
And I would also say that there are times when, and I'm going back to something that you said earlier, that your weaknesses have become the strengths that God uses. There are going to be times when God's going to ask you to operate outside of your gifts. And I'm not saying in contradiction of your gifts, but I mean, like, he might be asking you to do something that feels very unnatural for you. And that's what glorifies God today. And
so he provides.
But he provides
in those moments. I've had so many of those moments when I am operating out of what I would consider more of my evangelism side of things.
Yes.
And someone has asked me something, and I knew in that moment that I'm like, because one thing that is very hard for me is I'm dyslexic, and so memorizing scripture or not confusing scripture is very hard for me in here reading it. No, but here I'm pointing to my brain for the people who are not watching on YouTube. And it was so funny, because in that moment, I had a person who I was having a very, very intense, I'll just say it. I was in a bar, and I looked at one of our friends, and I said, I'm about to minister to someone. And she's like, what? And I was like, I don't know. I went to the bathroom and I actually got into, like, I didn't get into it. There was a girl there who specifically just wanted to talk to me. And it wasn't me. It was the fragrance that she was feeling off of me.
Yeah.
She had really, really hard questions, very hard questions. And I knew that she was really looking for a reference to something in scripture. And I was like, oh no, I don't have that. I don't have that. Girl, I was spouting off scripture. Like, I had done sermons my whole life. I don't even remember what I said because it was not me. Right. It was literally the Holy Spirit. And so, he provides. Yeah. And sometimes we get this, we feel this pressure because we forget that he is the one doing this through us. Right. And we think when we're operating in these gifts that we're like, we're responsible and like, I don't want to mess it up. And then what happens is we start operating smaller in our gifts. And I know that I've had a really bad habit of that being just a new Christian. And now I'm starting to like step into that. And I realized like, it is not me. I am not on the hook for this. I am only on the hook to be available and to allow the Holy Spirit to intercede. That's it. And there was that exact situation where the Holy Spirit did everything. I was literally just, I was the girl in the bathroom. I was the girl in the bar bathroom.
That's it. Yeah, that's right.
Which is another case to like, you can operate in your gifts anywhere.
You really can.
You really can.
Yeah. And I think the Lord is really kind to show us when, I'm so with you on all that, by the way. I gave an example of a time when I like totally didn't operate out of my gifts. And so just check in. Just check in. You want to know when to use them? Just check in with Jesus. Yeah. Like, just talk to him. Ask him to reveal to you what scripture, you know, that can encourage you in operating out of them to find the resources you need or whatever. I would just say... There are going to be times where we fumble, but when you hear the Holy Spirit, like what Elisa just said, when we hear the Holy Spirit and he's prompting us to do it, it's going to, it flows out of us.
Yeah.
It feels so natural. And then what I love is that he like strips you of the memory of knowing what you said just to prove like, no, that was all me, babe. That was all me.
You were just the
conduit in which that energy poured through.
But also thank God.
Thank God for it. Yes,
thank God.
Girl.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been tons of times that, you know, operating in my gift of exhortation, sometimes the Lord asks me to do really, really uncomfortable things. And what is also a lot of like evidence to me, because my brain has, even with the faith that I have, my brain, it naturally tries to collect evidence. And so I do this all the time. Times that I have operated out of my gift of exhortation, that was just me, whatever conversation I was in immediately went negative. Immediately.
Wow. Yeah.
There's been times when I've been operating out of my gift and I was actually being led by the Lord, and I said something that I knew that person, I'm like, there's no way this person is going to receive this. But also having the gift of exhortation, I cannot physically or mentally not do the thing or say the thing.
Yes.
Like I've tried, and like the Holy Spirit will be like, no. And so I'm just like that's definitely how I very much have understood my gift, is because I cannot physically or emotionally not do it.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, I've said things that are extremely hard that I had the expectation. I'm like, this person's just going to blow up when I say this. And it was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It softened them.
Right.
It made them all of a sudden like palpable to the conversation that we were having.
Yeah.
And that was like so much evidence for me and so faith building for me in terms of like allowing the Lord to use me that I was like, oh wow, he really can.
Yeah.
He can do that.
He can do that.
And speaking in truth, because I think sometimes it's hard because we can say, well, I was just telling the truth. God will lead you if you allow him in how you're supposed to say the truth.
It makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It does. And sometimes it's not always leaning towards mercy, but sometimes it's not always leading towards in your face, like this is the truth. And that is my next step that I feel like with my relationship with the Lord is he is really pruning me to stop trusting myself and my own intuition of, well, this is how I should talk to this person while operating in my gift, but actually being like, you are not capable. I am. And so it's been a cool season of pruning, and he's given me a lot of really amazing like interactions with people that the only way that those interactions happened is because it was being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so good.
I wanted to share that because
yeah, it's so good.
I'm like brand new in figuring out what this is and it's it is a season of pruning.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just it. You're gonna ebb and flow out of it your whole life until you meet him face to face. I mean, like we all go through seasons of pruning. You've jumped feet first though. I mean, you've jumped completely all in, and so the Lord is able to do in you something. Here, I just closed my eyes, so it's about to come. It's about to come. Like it's about. I literally did the thing that you just described earlier in this podcast, but this is a word that I feel like the Lord is telling. He is able to develop in you a maturity in your gifts because of your absolute complete surrender to him. Mm-hmm. You are going to mature in your gifts in really profound ways that some people will never experience because they've only let the Spirit develop them in superficial ways. Wow. But you're letting the Spirit just take complete cover and really sieve you. And because of that, I believe you will grow emotionally and mentally and relationally, and your spiritual gifts will continue to refine and be great. I will give one caveat though, because I would say, vast majority of the time when we're operating out of our gifts, it actually brings a level of peace around other people. Mm-hmm. I have seen, however, the few times, they are very painful times. What I'm about to say is like really, it's a very unpopular opinion. There will be times though, I've had friends who have operated out of their gifts and the immediate moment is not okay.
Yeah.
Because somebody is really resisting the truth of the Lord. Somebody's really resisting whatever that spiritual gift is because of whatever they've got going on. But the truth and the validation of operating out of that gift comes.
Yeah.
But maybe not immediately.
That's good, Jess.
For example, the gift of prophecy, and we do not have time to really go into prophecy. That might be a whole nother
episode. I would love to do a whole episode.
I think we
love hearing Jess talk about prophecy.
Yes, because there is a lot of facets to it. A friend of mine has this gift, and she was a part of a pastoral hiring at her church. Like, she was on the committee of hiring somebody. She really, really believed there was something wrong. Her discernment was saying it, but she also had this prophetic gift that was telling her, this is not right. She was the only one. Everybody adored this person. They ended up going to prison because of some really, really dark, awful, awful things, but it was several years later that it came out. And when she operated out of her gifts, there was a lot of resistance, but because she operated out of her gifts, she was able to see what other people couldn't see because of their resistance to the truth. So I want for some of you to be at ease knowing that please let the Lord use your gifts. He loves you so much. He wants to use you. Every single one of you, God wants to use specific gifts for his purpose and his glory to bless other people. Some of you are going to be, and for her, she was decades into her relationship with Jesus before he made her cash in all those chips.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there might be a day where some of us, out of his love for the people around us, what blessing them looks like will be very offensive to them.
Wow.
And we have to have the maturity of knowing when those times happen. And like I said, it's going to be rare, but some of you might need to have the courage to say, I'm still going to operate out of the gifts that God gives me regardless. Mm-hmm. I'm going to still choose to bless that person regardless of how they react because my job is to obey.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's been a lot of times where I have probably gotten it wrong and probably haven't been operating out of my gifts because there was this very human part of me that felt like I wanted like the instant gratification that I'd like, okay, Lord, I did it. Like, you know, without understanding that like you are a vessel. You're just a vessel. Like, right. Like you're not the person that's actually saving anyone.
That's right.
And so it's very human of us, especially if you have gifts in evangelism or exhortation. And I'm only speaking about this because this is what I have. When you talk to people about Jesus, you can't help but be kind of disappointed when they're like, no, thanks. You're like, but wait a minute. Like, and so I think that's very faith building as well. And I love that you shared that story because, who knows, like the seed that was planted by an interaction that you had while operating in your gift, mm-hmm. when, you know, God knows exactly mm-hmm. when that's coming to fruition, but you don't. And that's part of your faith building with him. Because if we're only operating out of our gifts so we can get instant gratification, that's a gift to ourselves.
That's it.
That's not a gift to him.
But
that's so cool that your friend full circle was able to, you know, kind of probably build her faith in her gift with that.
It built her faith, but it grieved her.
Yeah.
It grieved her because of the sin, you know, which was another gift, right? Like her deep desire, for people to come to full repentance, even those that know Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I know, here I go again. I close my eyes when I'm really thinking.
I don't want you to stop doing that.
I'm just more conscious of it. No, it's a good thing. But I would say like
beautiful.
When it comes to, for some of you, like you're going to need more scripture. We will put in the notes mm-hmm. a few passages of scripture that talk about the gifts more specifically so that you can explore them. Mm-hmm. And then you could just look up spiritual gifts mm-hmm. to find the ones that like really would speak to you. Maybe ask people if you attend a church, ask people about the spiritual gifts that they have. Your church probably has a resource that I would recommend. And then try to do it with a friend. Like if you could just have conversations with friends about their spiritual gifts, I think this could be really telling. And like any assessment that you take, mm-hmm. It's just data to help you understand more about you. It's not where your identity comes from. Yep. Your identity exclusively beyond any personality type, beyond any sort of assessment that you take. Your identity is in who Christ is. Your identity is in that. Okay.
Yeah. Go off, Jesus.
Let's not define ourselves by a number or an animal or a letter or a series of letters, and not even on spiritual gifts. I want for you guys to take all of that data and give it to Jesus and let him tell you what you need to do with it.
Yeah. And if it also is convicting you, take that too.
Go, girl. You know? Go talk. You should probably just pray about it.
Yeah. Here we are. When I hear Jess say, we probably should just pray about it. We're landing the plane. We're getting ready to leave you guys.
That's That's seriously like, that's my code word. Just, you know, because what else is there to do? Just talk to him, guys.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's like it brings intimacy in your relationship with him.
Totally.
Because you're seeking him and you're seeking to really understand him.
That's
and
right.
Also as someone who followed plants and animals and spaceships and all kinds of stuff. It's just take it to him. It's so much easier.
It's seriously so much easier.
So much easier. You want to pray us out, Jess?
Sure. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you love us. You're so faithful. You're so good. We can be so faithless.
Mm.
We can be so distracted by things that don't matter, that bring no value, and that only hurt us. And you just sit and wait patiently for us. You wait for us to come to you, and then when we do, you are so thoughtful and so kind to embrace us and to love us and to lovingly correct us and to transform our hearts and our minds. The more we give to you, the more you give back to us in so many spiritual ways. We just thank you, Jesus. Not because of what you do for us, what you give to us, but because of who you are. You're just a really, really good God. Thank you for being better gods, be a better God than we are. I pray for each person listening, and I ask God that you give them real clarity on what it looks like to be used by you and to receive your love. I pray that you help them to understand what the people who wrote these precious words in the Bible, what you were trying to communicate through them for us, so that, God, we can be unified mm-hmm. as a family of mm-hmm. people who are all committed to you, so that we could have the purpose to fulfill your purposes, so that we can bless others, and that we mm-hmm. can handle these gifts with responsible, postured hearts of humility that recognize that any good that we bring to this world, it's because of you. Mm-hmm. We just pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We absolutely love today's chat. And we'd love to hear, you know, what you thought, or yeah. if you want to share what you got on the spiritual gifts.
Yeah, totally.
You can always contact us at Black Sheep Believers podcast, at Black Sheep Believers podcast, as well as on our website. So thanks so much for coming, guys. We loved having a convo with you.
Bye.